We've been looking the last couple of weeks about the Word of God, and we'll talk a little bit about tonight about God and also His Son, Jesus or Yeshua, however you know Him to be. But just going to look a little bit about common misunderstanding that witnessing to like someone who may be a Trinitarian or somebody who might think that Jesus is God, an issue that may come up in talking to them is about who Jesus Christ says He is. And one specific issue in John chapter 8, let's turn the answer, so we'll start tonight. Gospel of John chapter 8, as we know from John chapter 20, the reason why John wrote this gospel was to tell the story of Jesus, the Son of God, and the Christ. These things are written to prove that He was indeed the Messiah. And so all the things written are going to fall in line with that. They're not going to, regardless what we think it might say, this was written to prove that He was the Son of God and the Messiah. Okay? Not to prove that He was God, not to prove that He was a woman, a homosexual, whatever. Prove that He was the Messiah. We'll start in verse 58. Jesus said unto them, John 8:58. Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Now, in my own experience in talking to people who believe in the Trinity, this is a verse that they'll come out to. They're like, well, see, Jesus Christ says that He is I am. And they'll reference you back to Exodus chapter 3 or Exodus chapter 6, where Almighty God, who created heaven and earth, refers to Himself as I am that I am, and then He declares His name. So the question we're going to ask is, is Jesus Christ in this verse calling Himself the great I am? And to just for reference, let's go to Exodus quickly. Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3, verse 14. If you watched the movies on television this weekend, you saw the burning bush, and you saw the voice of God come from that bush and speak to Moses, giving him his commission to go back to Egypt and let the people of God, people of Israel, return, or let them go from the bondage they are in. And Moses says, well, they've been in bondage for all these years, 400 years. There's a lot of gods in Egypt. I'm going to go to Pharaoh and be like, yeah, well, God wants you to let His people go. And Pharaoh's going to be like, well, that's nice. Which God? And I think that's actually what he said in the movie. But but Moses asked a very valid question. He says, who should I tell them He's sending me? What is the name of this God who I'm speaking for? And he says in verse 14, and God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am, hath sent me unto you. Go to chapter 6. Verse 1. Then the Lord said unto Moses, now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh. For with a strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand he shall drive them out of his land. And God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord. When it's in all capitals like that, it's the name of God, Yahweh. Verse 3, and I appeared unto Abraham and to Isaac and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty, or El Shaddai, but by my name, Yahweh, was I not known unto them. So here he says, this is the name, this is my name, this is who, I am the God, Yahweh, calling my people out of bondage. Let's go back to John chapter 8. So clearly, in the Hebrew scriptures, God, the God who created heaven and earth with His utterance, as we saw last week, says that His name, the one who is calling out His people from Egypt, He is I am. That I am. And his name Yahweh. We'll start in... So here, and then in verse 58 of this chapter, we have Jesus. He says the words, I am. So again, you know, a Trinitarian will look at this and say, clearly, he's God, because he's using the sacred name of God, I am. Now, we're going to look at this chapter a bit and just try to understand its context and understand what question, what context Jesus is speaking in. We'll start in verse 12. The woman who was caught in adultery, just the stones dropped from her accusers, and Jesus says, go and sin no more. Verse 12, and then Jesus spake again unto them. He's speaking to the religious leaders, the Jews, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. John 8, verse 12. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, thou bearest record of thyself, thy record is not true. Jesus answered and said unto them, though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. For I know whence I came and whither I go, but ye cannot tell whence I came and whither I go. Ye judge after the flesh, I judge no man. And yet if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that beareth witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. So right there in his own discourse, he says, you know, there are two here who are bearing witness of it. You know, me and my Father. Verse 19, then said they unto him, where is thy Father? And Jesus answered, ye neither know me nor my Father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. Who is the Father of Yeshua? God. Do we agree on this? Right, God. God is the Father of Jesus. And many of the people of the time believed that Joseph was the father of this child, and this child was given birth out of wedlock. Mary and Joseph were not married, but Mary was pregnant, so there's some problems in there, and many people will refer to him as a child conceived in sin, because Joseph, who was assumed to be his father, really wasn't the husband of his mother. So there's a lot of controversy in this. They think he's a bastard, but he says, you know, you don't know my Father, because we know who his Father is. His Father is God. Verse 20. These words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple. And no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whether I go, you cannot come. Then said the Jews, will he kill himself? Because he saith, whither I go, ye cannot come. And he said unto them, ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of the world, I am not of this world. I said unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Then said they unto him, who art thou? And Jesus said unto him, even the same that I said to you from the beginning. I'm the same God I've been telling you I have been since day one. I have many things to say unto you and to judge of you. But he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. So again, Jesus in this chapter is speaking about him and the relationship he has with his Father. Then said Jesus unto them, when ye shall have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. As he spake these words, many believed him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed him, if ye continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And they answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to every man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? So now the Jews are saying, okay, here's this guy saying, you know, if you follow my words, you'll be my disciples, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And they're like, wait a second, we're Abraham's descendants. We've never been in bondage. You know, we've never been a slave to any man, and you're telling us that we shall be made free? Jesus answered and said to them, verily I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin, or a slave of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth forever. So here Jesus is clearly speaking of, he's like, you know, if you're sinning, you're a slave to that. I'm here to offer you, this truth that I offer is a truth that will set you free from being a slave to sin. And they have no clue what he's talking about. Verse 36. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen of my Father, and ye do that which you have seen with your father. So here he's saying, you know, I know you're Abraham's descendants, but ye seek to kill me. You know, my words, you're not understanding my words. And then Jesus compares this. He says, I'm speaking the things of my Father, and you're doing what you've seen of your Father. And so now he's starting to use this comparison of the two fathers. And he hasn't revealed yet who he says their father is yet. But we're going to talk about this. But again, they're confessing Abraham's our father. And they answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. And Jesus said unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. If you were really Abraham's children, mm-hmm. you'd act like your father. And we know Abraham, and it says in Galatians 3, 6 and 7, it says, the descendants of Abraham are those of faith. And here, they're not believing on the Messiah. So they're not acting like their father Abraham. If you were Abraham's children, you'd act like him. But now you seek to kill me. You seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. Abraham didn't do something like this. You're not acting like your father Abraham. Verse 41. Ye do the deeds of your father. Again, he's saying, you're acting like your real father. Then he said unto him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. And here they're talking about this concept of Joseph being his illegitimate father. Verse 42. Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, ye would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech, even because ye cannot hear my word? Ye are of your father, who? The devil. So he's revealed who he thinks their father is, who they're acting like. It's not Abraham, nor is it God. Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. Mm-hmm. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar, and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. You know, he's saying, you know, if God were really your father, you would love me because I'm coming from God. You know, I'm speaking for God. I'm God's son. You love me. But no, you got a different father. Your father is the devil. Again, this little debate here with the Jewish leaders. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Verse 46, which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you believe not? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. And then answered the Jews and said unto him, say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil? So now they're saying, they're getting dirty here. They're like, oh yeah, well your mother is a... You got nothing to use against him, because he's speaking the truth. And they're not getting it because they're not of God. They're not getting the truth. Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and ye dishonor me. And I seek not my own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keepeth my saying, he shall never see death. Then said the Jews unto him, now we know that thou art the devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets, and thou sayest, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. So here Jesus says, he goes, you know, if you keep my words, you shall live. If you keep my words, you won't see death. And they're like, come on, we definitely know you're possessed now, because these great men, Abraham and the prophets, you know, who came way before you, they're dead. You know, you're saying that you're so much greater than the prophets and Abraham? Well, the truth of the matter was, yeah, he was. He was the one that the prophets were speaking of. Verse 53. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead? Whom makest thou thyself? Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom you say that he is your God. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. But I know him, and keep his saying. You know, he's saying, you really don't know him, but I do. If I said that I didn't know God, then I'd be the one who's wrong. I shall be a liar like unto you, but I know him and keep his saying. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, thou art not 50 years old, and thou hast seen Abraham? So what he says to them, he says, you know, Abraham, your father Abraham, he rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. The Greek reads, Abraham, your father exulted in that he should see my day, and he saw and rejoiced. And the Jews said unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and thou hast seen Abraham? So again, he's saying that Abraham rejoiced to see the day of Christ. And they're like, come on now. You're not even 50 years old. Abraham was thousands of years ago, and you're saying that you have some kind of relationship with this guy? They're not really getting what he's talking about. Verse 58, Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Then they took up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out in the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. So now we've read the record of what's happened here, and clearly throughout the whole record, he's talking about who he is and who his relationship with his to his father. So, you know, if somebody came, and pointed out this verse and was like, clearly, God and Jesus are the same thing. Just throughout the whole section, he's talking about his separation between him and God. And he's also talking about who he was sent by, whose words he's speaking. And he's also talking about his relationship to the prophets and to Abraham. But the thing I want to look at specifically is this last word, I am. The words I am in this verse are the Greek words ego eimi, kind of like the waffle. Ego eimi are the words that are translated here, I am. Now, fortunately, these words ego eimi are listed in about half a dozen other places in this chapter. So let's just quickly go over them and see these same words. If you go back to the beginning of the chapter, chapter 8, we'll just go to the different places where it uses these same words, ego eimi. Verse 12 is there. Then Jesus again spake unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. Those words, I am, ego eimi. I am the light of the world. Skip down to verse 16. I am not alone, but I am the Father that sent me. I am, in that section, is ego eimi as well. Verse 18, a real important one. I am one that beareth witness of myself, and the Father hath sent me, beareth witness of me. That's verse 18. Verse 23, he said unto them, ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. Both times when it says I am there, it's the Greek words ego eimi. Verse 24, I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Those words there, I am, and then the he connected to that is ego eimi. Verse 28, then said Jesus unto them, when ye have seen lifted up the Son of Man, then ye shall know that, what? I am he, and that I do nothing of myself. And then, back at verse 58, we have the words, ego eimi. Now, within this chapter, it's translated, I am he, I am the one. And then, when we get to this last verse, it's just, I am. Now, understanding the question that is being asked, the question is, talking about Jesus Christ's relationship with Abraham. And Jesus Christ answers, before Abraham was, I am. Now, as we saw in the earlier verses, the same ego eimi is also translated, I am he, and I am the one. So let's read it in light of that. Before Abraham was, I am he. Or before Abraham was, I am the one. Now, before Abraham was there any idea about the Messiah written in the scriptures? Abraham starts in Genesis chapter 12. Anybody know the first place where there's a promise of Messiah in the scriptures? Genesis 3, verse 15. So even in the scriptures themselves, before Abraham was, the Messiah was. This idea of what the Messiah would be, who the Messiah would be, what he would do. That's in Genesis 3:15. And then even within Abraham's record, there it's speaking about the Messiah. Let's go to Hebrews 11 quickly. Don't leave your finger back there. We'll go back just quickly to Hebrews 11. This we call the Hall of Fame of Faith and such. Hebrews 11 is right before Jacob. Hebrews 11 verse 13. It's just spoken about Abraham. And he lived by faith. So the question you ask is, okay, did Abraham see? The question that was originally asked was, did Abraham see Christ's death? Okay. Was Abraham, was Christ, or was this idea of Messiah before Abraham was, so that he could see it? Verse 13. These all died, including Abraham, in faith, not having received the promises, but what? These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but what?
Seen them afar off.
Having seen them afar off, were persuaded of them and embraced them, confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth. This promise to have faith in is about the Messiah. Abraham saw that promise afar off. You know, one of the promises that was to Abraham, let's go to Galatians. Galatians chapter 3, verse 16. You know, we know very well the promises that were made to Abraham, the covenant relationship that God had with him. And one of the parts of this promise was about his seed, right? That his seed would be plentiful, that it would be as the stars of the seashore, the stars in the sky, the sand of the seashore. And there was another aspect that was promised about his seed, that and by his seed all the nations of the world will be blessed. And verse 16, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. And he said not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one. So in this promise, it wasn't, you know, and by your seeds, all the nations of the world shall be blessed. It was by your seed, speaking of one. Rest of the verse, and to thy seed, which is who?
Christ.
So again, this seed spoken of to Abraham in Genesis 12 and throughout his life was speaking of the Messiah. So obviously, Abraham was able to see it, and this was his hope with God, and he was able to rejoice in it. Let's go back to John chapter 8. So again, we understand that the promise and the idea of this one who would bring redemption, the Messiah, was indeed before Abraham was. So Jesus clearly, he's speaking that he is this Messiah who was promised of. So when he's asked, you know, how could Abraham see your day? He goes, before Abraham was, I am he. I am the one who was spoken of before Abraham. You know, he's not invoking the sacred name of God. Look on your notes quickly. We'll go to that top quote. Everybody there, the first one. To claim to be before Abraham does not mean that you remember being alive before your birth. That is to think like a Greek who believes in the pre-existence of souls. In the Hebrew thought of New Testament, one can exist as part of God's plan, as did also the tabernacle, the temple, repentance, and other major elements of the divine purpose. Even Moses pre-existed in that sense, according to a quotation we'll introduce later. John the Apostle could also say that Christ was crucified before the foundation of the world. Great verse in Revelation 13:8. It speaks of, and the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. You know, all this was in the mind of God. And then he spoke these things into existence when they actually happened. This gives us an enormously valuable clue as to the way the New Testament writers understood pre-existence. There are multiple examples of past tenses in the Hebrew Bible which actually refer to future events. They are past because they describe events fixed in God's counsels and therefore certain to be realized. Bible readers regard this very Jewish way of thinking when they leap to the conclusion that when Jesus said he had the glory with his Father from the foundation of the world, he meant that he was alive at the time. Mm-hmm. Certainly in a Western frame of reference, the traditional understanding is reasonable, but can we not do the Messiah the honor of trying to understand his words in their own Hebrew environment? So again, that's what we need to do when looking at this section and understand the words that he used. He uses the words ego e me. He's speaking that I am he. I am the one. Consider reading it like again, like this. You know, I am the one before Abraham was. You know, he's speaking about this existence of the Messiah. Obviously, this man did not exist before Abraham, because then they have the valid question to say, well, you're not even 50 years old. How could he see your death? Everybody following so far what we're talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, again, this section right here is not speaking... Jesus is not invoking this sacred name of God, but he is merely answering your question. Matt, if you ask me, Victor, are you teaching tonight? I would say, I am. Is everyone okay with that?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I mean, it's a common way to answer a question. Let's look at a couple other places quickly where these words, ego e me, were used so that you can see it. These words' meanings without specifically being in this context. Let's go to chapter 9, right in the same context. Jesus Christ heals the blind man. And then, as we know, this guy was blind from birth, and everybody's like, oh, you know, what's happening here? You know, was this guy really blind from birth? You know? And verse 8, the neighbors, chapter 9, verse 8, the neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen him, that he was blind, saith, is this not he that sat and begged? You know, so they're asking, you know, is this the guy who was blind? And now, you know, he was begging. Verse 9, some said, this is he. Others said, it is like him. But he, the blind man, answered, ego e me. Now, is the blind man here saying that he's God? No, he's saying, yeah, I am he. I'm the one who was blind, but now I'm not. Are you the guy who was blind before, but now you're not anymore? I am. You know, he's answering the question. Let's go to John chapter 4. So again, indeed, God, in Exodus, he declares his name to be I am that I am. And then his proper name. And but that doesn't mean every time in the rest of the Bible that word is used, that it's that name. Okay? Let's go to chapter 4, verse 25. Now, here... The Samaritan woman at the well is having a discourse with Jesus, and he's talking about different things. And this woman is wonderful. She asks a great question. Verse 25, she makes a great statement. Verse 25, the woman said unto him, I know the Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. So she's like, I know the Messiah is coming, and I know that when he comes, he'll figure this whole thing out, you know, the questions that she has and stuff. I know that he will tell us all things. Jesus said unto her, I that speaketh unto thee am he. And these are the same words, ego e me. So, now it's specifically, are you the Messiah? And he answers, I am. Okay, so again, he uses these words to describe himself as a Messiah to answer the simple question that is asked. You know, are you the Messiah? Yes, I'm God. I mean, that would be silly for him to say. He's just answering her question of, you know, I know when the Messiah comes, he will tell us all things. And she goes, and he goes, well, guess what? I am the one. I am he. You know, I am. You know, he could have continued by saying, you know, Abraham, before Abraham was, it was written about me in the scriptures. You know what I mean? Abraham was able to have the hope in me because I was before him. Okay, let's go to let's go back to John 8. Look on the sheet for a second. So again, the blind man, he says, ego e me. Jesus, when asked if he's the Messiah, answers, ego e me. So these words are not the... he's not referring to himself as God in this sense. God's name, and the transliteration is YHWH. And these letters are the third person singular, meaning he will be, he causes to be. And the just the I am section is the same way, but the Y is added on it to make it a third person. So it's HWH. I just wanted to read you something real quick from this textbook, Understanding the Old Testament. Just quickly about the words I am from the Hebrew. It's about Moses asking this question about who has sent me. At this point, when we come At this point, we come to one of the most cryptic passages in the Old Testament. According to the narrative, God answered Moses, "I am who I am," or "I will be what I will be." Moses was then instructed to tell the people, "I am has sent me to you." In the next verses, the instructions are more specific. Moses was to tell the people that YHWH, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, has sent him. Apparently, the narrator intends to connect the words "I am" with the four consonants YHWH, the special name for the God of Israel in the Old Testament. In Hebrew, "I am" is the first person singular of the verb HWH, which means to be or to happen. YHWH is the third person singular of the same verb, that is, "he will be," or better yet, "he causes to be." So, again, God is describing who he is by explaining how he exists. He's saying, "I am. In the past, I am. In the present, I am. In the future, I am." You know, there is no one else who can say this except this, the God of Israel. The God of Israel, God of Abraham, Isaac, the one who delivered the children of Egypt from the children of Israel from Egypt. And then finally, we'll just close with this last section here on your notes, speaking about God's uniqueness. Judaism has two clear, concise statements about the existence of God. First one is, "In the beginning, God," and "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." And again, we know the capitals mean God's proper name. This second statement has become an integral part of Jewish belief that has become one of the central prayers in the Jewish worship service, Shema Israel, Hear, O Israel, recited by Jews each day as the declaration of faith. What does it say? "Hear, O Israel" means listen. Pay attention, Jews. "The Lord is our God." In English, there seems to be little difference between the meaning of the word capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, and the meaning of the word God. But in the Hebrew, there is a significant difference. God is the generic, the common noun. The ancient world had many gods, each worshipped and, what's that word with? Venerated, by one or more nations or tribes in one or more places. But Lord, in all caps, in Hebrew, YHWH, is the proper noun, the specific name of God, of the God whom Abraham found. The Hebrew root word which YHWH is derived means to be. Thus, the very name YHWH implies both existence and the timelessness of God. God was, is, and will always be. So the phrase, "the Lord our God," means that YHWH, not the sun or the moon or idols or made of stone, but YHWH is our God. But there is more. YHWH is not in co-equal existence with all of the gods. YHWH is not just one God among many. The Lord is one. The word "one" has several meanings, all of which are commingled here and are equal important. One means unique. When the statement was first articulated, it was understood that other nations worshipped a variety of gods, and it was understood that those nations would not throw down their beliefs in their gods in a day, or a year, or perhaps forever. But no matter, YHWH is unique, the real God. YHWH is God with a capital G. All others are mere pretenders. One also means singular. Some nations had two, three, four, or more gods with co-equal status. Jessica and I learned about this today. Or one chief god with a number of assistant or deputy gods, each with his or her own name. YHWH is not one of many. YHWH is God alone. One means indivisible. One God cannot be broken into parts or divided into entities. No concept of duality or trinity exists, for YHWH cannot be separated into sections. One also is a mathematical formula. If YHWH is 1 and not 2, or 3 or 17, then YHWH is also 1 and not 0. Mathematically, YHWH is not not. Since two negatives make a positive, YHWH is, was, is, and always will be. He exists. So again, in understanding a little more about who our God is, we understand how immense and awesome he is, that he proclaims his name to be the one who exists, the one who exists always. And confusion comes in when we take a verse out of its context or don't have the Hebrew understanding of what the Bible is speaking of, or what Jesus is speaking of. And in verse 59, it speaks of them wanting to stone him. People you might speak to will say, well, obviously, he's declaring himself to be God, and they're stoning him for blasphemy. Well, it also speaks in Deuteronomy 13 to stone a false prophet, to stone one who is speaking, and for them to hear someone speak that there before Abraham would be like a thing of blasphemy, and they would go out to stone him. So this guy would stop talking because he's speaking lies. And in the Hebrew mind, no man would come to proclaim himself to be God because they knew who God was. Another Jew would not say, "Well, here I am. I'm the God of Israel. I'm right here," because they know he was the God who spoke to them on Mount Horeb. So, again, reading the record, it helps us understand a little bit more about what Jesus Christ is really trying to communicate, and that he's the Messiah. So, like I said, I thought it was really cool that in the next chapter, the blind man is asked a similar question, and he answers with the same words, "I am he. I am." You know, and it's like, we know the blind man is not God, so using the same words, Jesus is not, he didn't declare himself to be. So I have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for your love for us and your kindness upon our lives, God, that we can study your scriptures and know you and know who your son is, God, so we can be more thankful for all that you've done for us, especially through him, God, through his life, his words, his death, and his resurrection. God, giving glory to you and all those things. We thank you for his example and for his life. God, we thank you. We're so thankful for your love. Lord, I pray these things in his name. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.